Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. Last week, I was with the beautiful Hopi Indians in Arizona, helping them with clean water issues. Michiko Hayashi from the Moto Peace Project and I gave presentations. And I just want to thank Ernest Tahoe and Lynn and her family for their wonderful support and hospitality. I also visited the Sacred Prophecy Stone on the Hopi Reservation and receive spiritual messages from the great spirits on humanity's future, which I'll be sharing today from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time. Joining me on the show will be several Hopi elders, and I hope you can listen to their incredible interviews. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And the good news is that we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. From 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from the United Kingdom. He's on the line now, and he'll be coming on in just a few minutes. So please stay tuned. Then from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be discussing my recent trip to the famous Prophecy Rock of the Hopis, where I spoke to the ancient spirits, and they gave me many messages, which I'll be sharing live during the show. Joining me on the show will be several Hopi elders, including Vernon Masaivaya, I hope that I pronounced that correct, and Ernest Tahoe, who will be distributing water filters to the Hopis so they can finally now drink clean water. The Hopis are an ancient people, and they have many messages on humanity's future. Before we start, I'd also like to thank everyone's support for this radio show, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all of your beautiful help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. And with that, I'd also really like to thank my friends Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their fantastic support, as well as my friends Marian Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who's helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries with 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show and I know are listening today, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW and Eric, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me anytime at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and you can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I also have some wonderful psychic and spiritual fairs I wanted to tell you about. On Saturday, May 18th, 2019, from 10 to 5 p.m., I'll be attending the Tacoma Psychic Fair at 5405 South Puget Sound Avenue in Tacoma. The event's free, and I hope you can all come. I'll also be returning to Mount Shasta, a very special spiritual place in Northern California, from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Miracle healings occur at Mount Shasta, and we all are from the Talosians and the beautiful people of the Hollow Earth, and we always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. The last time I was there in September 2018, I was able to telepathically contact a UFO, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the eyesight in my eyes, restoring them to perfect 20/10 crystal clear eyesight. The cost is only $200 per person and it includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. But I would recommend that you, if you are coming, to please contact me soon. That both dates are filling up and we're getting people coming in for the trip from as far as away as Italy, the United Kingdom, Japan, Germany, across Canada and the United States and Central and South America. Now I'd like to bring my good friend on, Simon Parks. He's a famous ET contactee live from England. He appears on my show twice a month on the first and third Fridays of every month. He's a wonderful fellow, and I'm so happy he's on the air today. Simon, how are you doing?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well, thank you. And I'm really pleased to be on your show again.
Oh, good. Oh, good. For those of you interested, you can find out more information about Simon and his wonderful wonderful work at www.simonparkes, that's SimonParkes.org. Simon, you've had a lot of things. There's a lot of things going on in the world, isn't there? I mean, there always is, but especially this time. My goodness, you had lots of different posts. I've gotten lots of different questions in from my listeners. But let me ask you this. Before we start, are there any particular issues you'd like to discuss first off on the show?
I think we'll probably just see what your audience questions are, and then if there's anything that's not covered, then maybe I can just bring it in then.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Let me go through a few of your posts on your website first. Where you talked about Gavin Williamson, the British Defense Minister, has been sacked for revealing that Huawei, the Chinese company, will play a part in the 5G rollout. The allies, the United States, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand, have all banned the Chinese actually from working with them, and the inquiry filed reports of a plan to allow Huawei limited access to help build the UK's new 5G network. Do you have any updates on that, Simon, regarding that story?
Yes, it appears that the guy who got sacked, who got fired,
right,
is basically turning around and saying it wasn't him. He's quite adamant that he didn't leak the story,
okay,
but the Prime Minister said it was. But I know that people outside of Britain don't really understand the parliamentary system in this country. We have what we call a guy who runs the cabinet. The cabinet is a collective term for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy who runs the cabinet, and he's quite a powerful man. And he took against Gavin, this Minister of Defence. He took against him. So there's some talk that he was fitted up. Now, whether he was or he wasn't, the fact of the matter is that there clearly was a debate at the highest levels of British government to bring this Chinese firm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it absolutely astounding that all the old Commonwealth countries plus the United States of America have already decided there's absolutely no way they want this Chinese firm involved. Mm-hmm. Yet here's the British government, seriously talking about bringing them in. So you've got to ask yourself, what's going on? Why would one ally mm-hmm. break away from the others? And that there's no answer to that at the moment, and it doesn't mm-hmm. make sense.
Well, there's one thing I wanted to share with you. A little more than a year ago, I was in Lima, Peru, flying back from Lima to the United States, Canada, actually. And I'd been there visiting Machu Picchu, and there's this huge billboard in the Lima airport. If we have, I know I have listeners in Peru. If you're listening today, it'd be great if you could just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com regarding this huge billboard that Huawei had installed in the airport. And it must have been, oh my goodness, it must have been at least 20, 25 feet tall, long. It was in a rectangular billboard, maybe 100 feet or more. So it was hard to miss in the airport. And if anybody has visited the Lima airport recently, please send me an email. I appreciate it, and let me know if it's still there. But it showed a fellow who looked like he stepped out of Star Trek from the Borg, who was half human and half metallic and half metal. And he was holding up a new Huawei phone. And he said, with a smile, this creepy smile, "The future is AI," and as Huawei advertising their new phone. What was interesting is that after that visit to Lima, Peru last February, in February of 2018, in May, of course, I visited David Icke, and I interviewed him for a day at his home at the Isle of Wight, and he said, I asked him about it, and he said that the Chinese had been pretty much left alone by the West ever since their independence in 1947 49, up until just the late part of this last century. And during that time, it was a reptilian playground in which the reptilians helped them build up their infrastructure, and so they're very interested in AI. I don't know if you'd heard that story or not, but or David Icke's comments but it kind of fits if the Allies didn't want Ta Wang to be part of that that effort.
The only thing I would add to that is it's not a new phenomena. If you think about folklore and Chinese culture, mm-hmm. the dragon plays an incredible part in their history over thousands of years.
Right.
So I think David Icke is correct. I think he's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's just something that's happened since the late 40s.
Right.
I think that the reptilian connection through a dragon culture has been going there for thousands of years.
Yeah, I think you're right. Thank you for pointing that out, Simon. That's a very astute comment. The second thing you had in your website, you have lots of interesting posts, by the way. And if people are interested, please go to Simon's website at www.simonparks.org. You had another post relating to last year's special Christmas podcast about 440 hertz versus 432 hertz and the health effects. And from the article, it says the data suggests that 432 hertz tuned music can actually decrease the heart rate more than 440 hertz tuned music. And it's better for you. And from what I know of 440 and 432, before, during the 1930s, the Nazis adopted a 440 hertz standard for their music. And what I had read, anyway, Simon, I loved your comment on this, is that 440 hertz is an imbalance that's not exactly a synchronistic or harmonious tune. Instead, people, when they listen to 440 music, get agitated. And Hitler wanted people to get agitated in preparation for World War II. Unfortunately, after World War II, of course, the United States brought in 8,000 to 10,000 Nazis, and they all urged that the United States adopt the 440 standard, and they did in 1950. And so our music, in the United States anyway, has been tuned to 440. I guess that's prepped us up for the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the Gulf Wars, this war, that war. But I think you're right. I think the 432 hertz music standard is a much better standard.
Well, I think it's like an arms race. If you had one country changing the frequencies so that they could better implant ideas into a person, and then you had another country that didn't,
right.
then that country that didn't, the leaders would feel that they were at a disadvantage. So as soon as one country, you know, adopted it, then yes, they were all going to follow it.
Right.
I think what's interesting about the influx of Germans, and of course many of them were Nazis, not all of them, but
right.
many of them were Nazis, mm-hmm. is that they were put into very senior positions. And just very briefly, and it was largely the Americans, and the Brits fought some very, very difficult battles, but it was largely the Americans that swept across large parts of France and into Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Americans began to discover these underground bases, they began to get a realization that the level of technology that the Germans were on was actually far ahead of what they guessed. So yes, we knew about the V2 missiles coming down, and
right.
the Americans had seen other stuff, but what they found was embryonic technology, which there was no sign of above ground. And this is what really frightened the pants off the Americans, because they thought another year and Germany could have won the war.
Sure.
So what they brought back wasn't just Germans and their technology, but they brought back the concept of deep underground bases, because what America was astonished at was they dropped goodness knows how many tons of bombs on Germany, but the facilities underground were untouched. And
right.
so all the underground bases in America today owe their history to Germany.
I'll be doggone. That's interesting. I know there's a fellow, I can't remember his name, he was an American engineer who helped build the underground bases in the United States back in the late 80s, and then he was subsequently killed. He started complaining about it because he said that they were actually, the U.S. government military was being helped by the Greys and by the reptilians to build these underground tunnels underneath the earth, and he objected to it, and eventually he was found murdered. Well, that's an interesting comment I hadn't thought about.
My mother in it's difficult to be exact, but probably around about between somewhere between 1971 and 1973, mm-hmm. on the secret documents that she was working on. They were working on the nuclear-powered underground boring tunneling machines. So she was actually working on the documents that were looking at how you got a nuclear reactor into basically a train, you know, a tunneling machine. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I think they went prototype live in about somewhere between 1975 and 1979. And so from that point onwards, it was then possible to build these tunnels or drill these tunnels and increase these bases. So throughout the 1980s, this is when the underground bases really took off, because they had these nuclear-powered tunneling machines, which my mother, when I say she worked on, she wasn't, she wasn't the technical side. Right. She was writing up the documents where the scientists had said, we think it's possible to put a nuclear reactor inside one of these machines. And that was the very early 70s. So, yeah, she was involved in that. And mm-hmm. we saw that some 10, 15 years later when they managed to get it working.
Oh, how interesting. Interesting. You know, what's interesting, too, is I talked, of course, I'm in contact with the people of the Hollow Earth, and they have their own tunneling system, which goes from, they tell me, from Mount Shasta to Shambhala underneath the Mediterranean, the Aegean Sea near Greece. There's another tunnel, they tell me. There's tunnels from their ancient civilization more than 10,000 years ago, but they're still active, and you can take a shuttle, for example, to Shambhala. You can go down to Cusco in Peru in matter of maybe 10 minutes. They move very, very fast, and it's curious because those tunnels have been around for a long, long time as well. Do you think with disclosure, Simon, that the people will finally find out the truth of these tunnels that the U.S. government and other governments have built, and there will be disclosure about it?
Well, the problem about disclosure, I don't think the American government have got any problems in disclosing flying saucers. Let's right. just call it that.
Sure.
That's not the problem. That's not the issue. The problem is that the questions that then follow. So let's just say, for instance, that disclosure comes ahead and officially it's announced that flying saucers exist.
Right.
Let's just say they do that on mm-hmm. Monday. By Tuesday, the first question is, mm-hmm. why didn't you tell us about this? And the answer is, because we didn't want to scare you. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next question is, who's flying these? And we get an answer. And by about Thursday or Friday, the questions being asked are so compromising to the government that the government could collapse. So the reason that they don't willingly give disclosure is not because they have a concern about flying saucers. It's because all of the questions that would come from that. So it's the kingpin. If that goes, everything else goes. Will we get disclosure? Yes, absolutely we will. Mm-hmm. But we won't get it while there's still a sizable negative force, mainly human, but not exclusively so, mm-hmm. while there's still a negative human force that's got something to gain out of it. In other words, if you think about 9/11,
right,
the only time we're going to get disclosure on 9/11 is when there isn't anybody still alive who was involved in that operation.
And
that's how it works.
I have to ask you this question. This goes right to the Kennedy assassination on November 22nd, 1963. I mean, it's ridiculous how long they've kept the documents and the files locked up. Trump had an opportunity, of course, last November to release everything, and he didn't. He released a small amount of documents, I'm told, and I don't know how long he extended it. Looks like another, I don't know how many years. But is that the same principle? They're waiting for everybody to pass on, and then they can release it? And
Well, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, it's so difficult when we are told that X, Y, or Z have been assassinated when that individual is in their 90s, because people in their 90s tend to die anyway.
Right.
So, you know, we're not being given evidence that certain of these people are being, you know, taken out. Mm-hmm. But that's the message we're being given, that the current control system is preferring to take out these traitors, as they call them, or these treasonists, rather than be honest and tell the public why they're taking them out, because there are so many other people linked to a number of these happenings. And this is the problem that we have, that nobody, including Trump, nobody at the moment has got the confidence to be able to tell the truth and then weather the storm. It's one thing to say, right, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Right.
It's another thing to say, will I still be in office tomorrow after I've told you the truth? And it's not that Trump is frightened to tell the truth from that perspective. He's frightened because he believes he needs to stay in office for another term to put all these things through. So talking about disclosure and all the rest of it, going to see it. We won't see that until the second term of the office, because look how he's fighting at the moment with his political opponents. He hasn't got time to disclose because he's fighting so many battles. That's the problem.
The other thing, too, I wanted to ask you about, my friends asked me, this is one of the questions that came in. My friend asked me about his decision makings, because a lot of his decisions on the environment actually have been horrible. But I always get the feeling, they ask me, this is one of the questions we'll follow up later, but that he's not in control of the entire government. He has his own, he has to pick his battles, choose his battles, and try to win on certain points. But some of the decisions that his agencies make, like opening up environmentally sensitive areas here in the west of the United States to oil fracking and drilling, is something that he's not really in favor of, but he has to pick and choose his battles. Is that a correct assessment?
I think you're both right. I mean, the problem for the president is that his major number one slogan was and is making America great again.
Okay.
Now, that means jobs.
Right.
Jobs means business, and that means oil. It means gas. It means industry. So from a political point of view, the only way he's going to increase the economy of the United States and to increase jobs is by going down this road, which from an environmental point of view is not very popular. But the difficulty was that he's nailed his colors to the mast, which is he wants to defeat Chinese imports. He wants to control imports from other countries so that America becomes profitable again, like as it used to be. And so I think President Trump is prepared to accept the negativity of some of these environmental decisions, because he says he made a pledge or a promise to the people which they elected him on. So I think it's largely to do with that, to be honest.
Interesting. I have had a question come in. There's lots of questions here, but I'll just kind of weave them in as we go through topics. Fellow in David, Dave in Yelm, Washington, he asked, what about 5G? What's really happening with 5G in the United States? Does President Trump realize that 5G can harm people? It can harm both people and the environment? Or is it something that he will take steps to ameliorate so that people will not suffer the worst effects from this new telecommunication system?
I have absolutely no fear for the United States or the people of it. Absolutely no fear. I can tell you that steps have already been taken. I can tell you that your president is fully aware of the situation.
Okay.
And is taking steps. I fear for my own country here in Great Britain, and I fear for many European countries. But there's one country on earth which will be okay, and that's the United States of America, because from what I've been told, President Trump, through the military, is working on something that will, make you guys fine. So I have no concerns for you. My concern is for everywhere else. We don't have a President Trump, unfortunately, from that perspective. So we don't have anybody who can stand up to this. You do. You have a maverick. You have a billionaire president who nobody controls.
Right.
And so he can stand up to it if he chooses to, which he is choosing to. Unfortunately, everywhere else is puppets. So, no, you're fine.
Here's a follow-up question from Sue in the UK asking about the recent court decision where the 5G system was people fought the new 5G system being installed in the UK and are winning. Do you know anything about that, Simon? I don't. It's just kind of brief.
Yeah, it's patchy. It's patchy because you know, they can win a court battle in one district, right, but lose it in another.
Right.
So it's not being won right across the country. It's being won in certain areas. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's very difficult. You can't now campaign against a mast because it's a mast.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even campaign against it because it might be detrimental to health.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is you can literally bring a large number of people to a meeting and just by great weight of numbers make the local politicians begin to think, oh, I might not be re-elected if I do this. So it's basically come down to that, because from a technical level, the average person can't win the argument simply because they're average people. The only way to do this is to show the politicians that actually they won't be re-elected. And that, I think, is what's going on now.
Well, I have to share you a little story. There's a group of people called Citizens People for Safe Technology in Yelm, Washington, headed up by a fellow named Dave. For privacy, I won't give his last name, but anyway, his name's Dave, and they recently filed an appeal on a government approval for a new 5G cell tower in the Yelm area, and they have a lot of political activists there. And after they submitted more than 100 affidavits and petitions against the new 5G cell tower, and said that it would really harm the environment, all the judges who could have heard it in the local area recused themselves. Nobody would hear it, so they've had to go way out of the area to find a judge far off to hear it, and they have a new judge now. But none of the local judges want to touch it because they know that they'll lose the election the next time around if they make any decision on it at all. So.
I think so. I think the other problem is that if a judge, he or she is an expert in law,
mm-hmm.
he or she is not an expert in technical matters or chemical matters, and they bring in these so-called experts to speak. And I think it's becoming obvious that a lot of these experts don't actually know the true facts. And I think a judge is thinking, I'm going to have to make a decision based on expert witnesses, but unfortunately the expert witnesses don't know what they're talking about. So I think I'll take myself off for a vacation so that I can't sit on the case.
Sure. And I think for local judges like that, they're between a rock and a hard place because it's a no-win situation for them. If they rule against the cell tower, they'll get probably pressure from the local cell companies here in the United States. And if they rule in favor of it, they'll lose the election next time around, and they don't want to lose their jobs either. So,
yes, but the point is if they were really strong, they would make a decision based on the truth, and they would say, I don't really care what the corporates say to me, because I make a decision and I believe in that. So if they're not making that decision, it shows that they can be swayed, that they're not as impartial as their office should make them. So, you know, it's very easy to run away and go on holiday. It's much harder to say, I am going to make a decision. I'll stand by my decision. So I think many of these people know the truth and they just want it to disappear and go away.
Sure. With this push for 5G networks, another question came in. Is the United States the only safe country for 5G, or are there other countries waking up as well?
Well, France has banned it from all of their preschools, their creches. I think you call them kindergartens.
Kindergartens, yeah.
So France has banned that from all the kindergartens. They have even Wi-Fi in the schools, but they put warning notices up.
Excellent.
Now Germany is actually all of Germany. So that's 70 million people. Have put a moratorium on 5G. They've actually stopped it while they do some tests. So they've stopped it. Brussels has banned it. There are a number of countries now banning it. So I honestly don't know. I mean, if you are a prime minister or a president in one country,
right,
but your neighboring country has banned it,
right,
you surely got to be asking your questions. Well, you know, why
Right.
have they banned it? So we might end up in a situation where it's completely outlawed, or we may end up a situation where they go ahead with it and then have to close it down after 4 weeks
Right.
because the health implications are too great. We
Right,
don't know.
exactly.
We just don't know.
Reminds me of the push for atomic power plants during the last century, where people got up and they protested all over the world, Simon. And eventually in Germany, that had an effect of shutting down. And I can't remember now all the details, but I think by 2024 or 2022, Germany is supposed to shut down all their nuclear power plants and convert over to alternative energy methods, which I think is great. So people do have a voice, and I think we're all powerful spiritual beings, and we have an effect. We can make this world a better place. Absolutely.
I think that's true. I think it's easier in Germany because Germany was involved in the Second World War,
right?
And although the two nuclear bombs were dropped on Japan, they were an ally,
right,
supposedly, of Germany. So
right,
nuclear power has never sat very nicely with Germany at
right,
all.
Right.
So they're very conscious of things like that. It's easier to win an argument on an environmental backing in
right,
Germany than almost any other country.
Oh, yeah.
So surprisingly, Germany might lead the way. Isn't that odd? But they might do.
Wouldn't that be nice? I wish. I don't know what's going on in Japan now with respect to nuclear power, but of course they were bombed at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, horribly bombed in 45. And yet they allowed nuclear power plants to be built, especially at Fukushima. We're going off to lots of different areas today. Let me go on to another subject, and then we'll cover some questions. You had another post on your website on the U.S. and Russia agreement. And this is really interesting because this may fit into the U.K. decision to go along with Huawei in China for this 5G system. You wrote, both Russia and the United States agreed to vote together to stop Britain from getting the U.N. to send troops to Libya to support the government. So the Russians and the U.S. want General Haftar, I think his name is, to win the fighting now taking place in Tripoli, the capital of Libya. Is there some sort of a schism or a split between the United States and Britain in their own foreign policies that's developing now?
Two questions there. First point is that one of the greatest deceptions of modern times is the clever smokescreen that America and Russia don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely the opposite.
I see.
Russia and America are very, very closely aligned now. But it's not politically acceptable to advertise that. So from time to time, they will concoct, you know, political or military situations between themselves.
Right.
The very fact, I mean, you just couldn't make this up. The very fact that America and Russia voted together against Great Britain tells you everything you need to know. Now,
right,
go right back to 1945, where, I beg your pardon, 1941, when the United
right,
States came to the aid of Great Britain
right,
during the war, and remember in the First War as well.
Mm-hmm.
People would turn in their graves to know this. But the reality is that President Putin of Russia and President Trump of the United States can actually sit down without screaming and shouting at each other for the first time, God knows how many years,
right,
and can actually do sensible business. Now, the problem with Britain and Europe is that they are controlled by the same old elite guard.
Mm.
Now, Putin is like Trump. He's a maverick. He's independent. Nobody controls him. That's
sure,
why he threw out the Rothschilds from Russia. So the point is that we have a situation now where President Trump is coming to visit Great Britain in June. He brought it forward. He was coming in December, but he's now coming in June. It's a state visit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because it's a state visit, he doesn't meet the Prime Minister of Great Britain. He meets the Queen. So can you get this? President Trump is coming to Great Britain to meet the Queen and not the Prime Minister. So President Trump, your president, will sit down with the Queen of England and talk business. and the prime minister, the politician, is going to be excluded. Oh, sure, she's going to come to a gala dinner, but she is not going to be taking part in any of the discussions. And that again tells you all you need to know about how politics on the planet are changing.
That's amazing. Thank you for pointing that out, Simon. You always come up with the most amazing insights. That's great. That's great. Along with that, you had a post on April 27th about the Eurozone meltdown that Dr. Kroll, who's a German economist, he said that the Eurozone is on the verge of economic meltdown, perhaps in September and October. He also states that Britain is right to get out of Europe. And I'd love an update. We'd love an update on that if you have one.
Sure. Well, I and goodness knows how many other commentators have been, you know, forecasting Europe collapse for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So you know, it's not anything new. But uh-huh. What I think is new is that we are now getting officially trained academics now breaking cover and coming out and saying what we in the alternative media or the truth media have been saying for a number of years. And basically what this guy said was that, look, the economy in Europe is a nonsense. It can't go on. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're seeing, and the update that I've got for you, is that, again, if people who've been listening to me or have the time to look back, I've been warning about Deutsche Bank for about 3 years consistently.
That's right.
And now it appears they're on the verge of being bought out by, yes, you've guessed it, a Chinese company.
Oh my
so
goodness.
Deutsche Bank could be taken over by a Chinese. And remember that the Chinese are not private sector. So if a Chinese bank buys Deutsche Bank, it's basically the same as the Chinese government. So if that goes through, the Chinese government would control the most important bank in Europe. And I think that's why this guy, who's a German, hence the connection with Deutsche Bank,
right,
he's giving a warning that there is a real serious storm about to break. Now, it hasn't gone ahead yet, but if it does go ahead, I can absolutely tell you that the Chinese will use that as a stranglehold to get concessions out of Europe.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Simon. On May 1st, 2019, just a few days, 2 days ago, the Japanese emperor changed and Japan entered into a new era. The new era is called Renwa, meaning beautiful harmony. Do you think that signals a new age here on the planet?
I think he was told to resign.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think he was. I think that there's a very big movement in, I'll just call it Asia.
Uh-huh.
We've got we've got Kim Il-sung, and we've got several other leaders now in Asia,
right,
who are negotiating over hidden gold, mm-hmm, and also power playing to see how. See, I've always predicted, and I don't think I'm the only one, mm-hmm, that basically the world will divide economically into United States of America and all of the allies, mm, and China and all of Chinese allies. And one of the issues is, of course, India, because I think India will go with China. So you're going to have an Asian bloc and then a United States bloc. Now, that's not unusual because, you know, many of us remember it was the Soviet Union on one side,
right,
and what we used to call the free world on the other. So the world was artificially divided between capitalism and communism. But that was a military, political divide. What we're talking about is an economic divide. This is the key difference. So we've got different poles or polarities coming up on this planet now,
right,
of an economic standpoint. So a lot of the power play in Asia is literally about getting ready to take on the West face on economically.
Interesting. Interesting. Once again, a wonderful insights. Thanks so much. And this fits into your post on April 25th about North Korea and Russia, where you wrote that the leader of North Korea just met with President Putin in Russia. The discussion centered around decommissioning nuclear weapons held by the North, and President Putin announced that the leader would need some international guarantees to feel secure enough to remove his nuclear weapons. And you wrote, this is hidden talk for, one, don't let the U.S. attack me, and two, you need me because I have great influence in regard to Dragon Faction gold.
The main cover, I think, is for the public and the established media is to talk about, you know, nuclear weapons and all the rest of it. The more important aspect here was about who's going to be on the winning side from the economy. We know that the talks broke down between President Trump and the leader of the North simply because President Trump cannot speak for the Asian bloc. He can't, obviously not. But President Trump was saying, look, we will put sanctions on you if you don't follow the game. And Trump was really playing to his own domestic audience as well as to Europe.
Right.
But the reality was that he, in this particular match, he doesn't have any influence. I mean, all he could do is literally launch a war.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody thinks he's going to do that.
Right.
So the meeting broke down because basically Trump, when the cards are on the table, he cannot bring Asian people behind him. He can only bring Western people behind him. And this is another sign of the huge divide that's occurring between the East and the West in terms of money. You see, Russia is now part of America. Hmm. Absolutely, it is. It's on the same side. Both Russia and America view the Chinese as the enemy.
Interesting. Interesting. Wow. Once again, fascinating. Thank you, Simon, for sharing that. You had another post, and then we'll go on to questions. Cape Canaveral and SpaceX. Elon Musk founded in 2002 a space vehicle called SpaceX. And a couple weeks ago, Cape Canaveral reported it had suffered an anomaly. Usually, you write, that means something alien or something not expected in this world. I'd love a update on that.
It's very difficult to get any further information on that. What we find is that scientists are more truthful than politicians. Mm-hmm. Politician, he or she will have a whole bank of phrases or words to hide the truth, but scientists don't have that. And so the scientist will go to what he or she finds is closest. So when they use the word anomaly, mm-hmm. I think what they were referring to is an external force interfered with the computers.
Interesting.
So all we know is an external force didn't like what they were doing or what they were proposing to do. Now, whether that external force is some, you know, secret, you know, intelligence agency on Earth, or whether that is an alien force, we don't know. But what we do know is that there was, I'm going to put it into layperson's words here.
Mm-hmm.
Better way to change the word anomaly is this following sentence, that there is no way to explain what they saw that the computers were telling them. In other words, mm-hmm. they could not interpret the issues that the device was having. They had no way to fall back on it. They couldn't explain it. So the easiest way to say, look, we've got an anomaly. But I don't know any more than that. All I can tell you is that they probably had to shut the whole thing down.
Let's say hypothetically, Simon, that there was a UFO from a benevolent extraterrestrial race, and I know that they listen. Actually, I've been told that they listen to my show, so they're out there. And I have the support. I communicate anyway all the time with the Galactic Alliance. So let's say they sent one of their craft to shut down this space vehicle. They've had some information that we don't know about, that it was going to be used for negative purposes. What do you think would have happened to Cape Canaveral and the government if they'd actually said that there was a UFO that shut down the vehicle? If that was the truth,
what would have happened is they would have all have suddenly been retired. That's what would have happened. They would have all been reassigned or retired.
Mm-hmm.
Disclosure is not going to come out at the moment. We were closer to disclosure, I would say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Over the last 5 years, we've been closer to it.
Uh-huh.
But because of this dreadful infighting, it's not between Republicans and Democrats. It's mm-hmm. it's much more fundamental than that. It's between patriots on one side, well, they're calling themselves patriots on one side, and then sort of liberal egalitarians who view the patriot banner as some form of fascist organization. So in other words, it's no longer a fight between Republicans and Democrats, because what you used to get was a debate on television where the Republicans and Democrats would fight and shout and scream at each other. Then when the cameras turned off, they'd go and have a drink in the bar together because it was a big game. But that's not happening now. So
Interesting.
now they no longer socialize together. So
I
we've
see.
got a huge split, which is not about politics. It's about the principle of where you think the United States is and where it should go.
Interesting, interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Simon. I have some questions I'd like to go to now. This is
Sure.
Rose from New Zealand. She says, hi, Ted. Could you please ask Simon if our Prime Minister in New Zealand was or is being controlled and by whom? Thanks. Love, Rose.
Oh, hello, Rose. Thank you. Well, the answer to a lesser extent is yes, because New Zealand is part of what we call the Five Eyes, which means you're basically run by the United States of America.
Oh, okay.
New Zealand, Canada, Australia, Great Britain, and the United States make up Five Eyes, which means that there are listening posts in all of those countries, very advanced telecommunications and passive listening posts, not just always passive either. So they are part of a club, and you don't go putting trillions of US dollars in infrastructure into a country and then let your prime minister run away and do whatever they want. So you can't afford that. So that's an investment. You've got an investment in that country. So you want to protect your investment, which means you've got to keep those politicians doing what you want. I'll give you a quick example. In Great Britain, there is a, I can't give any names away, but there is
That's
a
right.
very advanced military facility in Great Britain. And supposedly to the world, it's run by Britain, but we all know the Americans control it. And although Great Britain is a staunch ally of the US, I can tell you that if that there in this facility there is a self-destruct device which the Americans can press thousands of miles away, which will blow, well, it won't blow up, but it will render the circuitry, it will render the chips in this computer, this device, it will destroy them. So the Americans, even with their greatest allies, place devices to destroy those objects because they just don't trust anybody except America. And I understand that. So it doesn't matter whether you're Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the governments will be influenced by the US very strongly.
Interesting, interesting. We have a follow-up question from Bridget here in Seattle. It says, "Hi, Ted. This question has to do with the giant Ferris wheels that many cities around the world have. For example, the London Eye or the Great Wheel here in Seattle. I watched an old interview with Max Spears before he passed. He mentioned that there is a reason why many cities have them, which started around 2012. He said that they are actually quote stargates, and he also mentioned energetic sun symbols and doorways." Could you please ask Simon to further elaborate on that and what kind of energetic effect these wheels, giant Ferris wheels, have on people living in these cities? Thanks to you both. Love the show.
Well, thank you for that. I think they work in tandem with what I call Egyptian obelisks.
Oh, okay.
Not just the original Egyptology, which of course you have in I think it's in New York, and we have the sister one over in our city in London. And in fact, they were taken from ancient Egypt along the Nile. And it's very interesting that we call it Cleopatra's Needle. It's an obelisk, and we have it by the River Thames, and you have yours by your waterway. So they're replicating the fact that the original ones were by the original Nile River. So they're trying to do that. Now, these work with these, what these call these Ferris wheels. Now, I don't know enough about it. I don't know whether the wheel has to be turning for it to work, or whether it works when it's stationary. The problem is, if it's working when it's turning, it's probably got people in the wheel going round. So that doesn't work so well. So I guess it can work when it's stationary. But I do know that they operate other architectural designs. And in fact, there are a number of buildings that have gone up which mimic pyramids. And I think that they're all part linked with it. So yes, the answer is yes, but I do not know the technology behind it.
Okay, great, great. I have a question from Christian in Bucharest, Romania, of all places. And Christian, I'll ask Simon your question. This came in a couple of weeks ago, but I want to follow it up. Could you please ask Simon the following question? I really had someone do a soul reading for me, and I've been told that my soul comes from the eighth dimension and is amongst the 144,000 souls that were exiled on this prison planet because we contributed to the destruction of the original planet. He's also was told that he's been incarnating on this planet since the times of Atlantis and Lemuria and will not be able to return back where he originally came from until there's no more life on this planet. Sounds like a very punishing sentence, to say the least. Do you know anything about this? Thank you to both of you for all the work you do for humanity. You're the best. Christian from Bucharest, Romania.
Right. Eighth dimension is a good dimension. It's not an evil dimension. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the last dimensions where you have any form of a physicality. Mm-hmm. We would call it a light body in modern terms. You know, right. If the person from an eighth dimension came in of a light body. I don't resonate with what you're saying there. Okay. I'm concerned with the figure you've been given, 144,000, because that is very close to Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witness religion says that 144,000 people will be saved. Now, if you've been told 144,000, then I think that's coming from the Jehovah's Witness. I think it's part of that religious group. You see, Christianity got it right. They didn't put a figure limit. They said everybody can be saved. So they were onto a winner. Because you see, if you say, listen, only 144,000 of you are going to be saved, then, you know, I'd want a membership card because I want to see what number I am on my membership card. Because if I'm 144,001, I'm not going to be saved, am I? You know, that's a problem. But in Christianity, millions and millions and millions can be saved. So Christianity is much more popular because the offer is you'll all be saved. Right. So I think it's all control. I think it's all a control. So don't ever allow yourself to be told that you are in a punishing cycle, that you have got to come back here, and when everyone's dead, then you can atone for your misdemeanors. Look, you are alive on this planet. You must do the best you can with the time that you're given. Don't live in fear. book a soul reading with me, and I'm sure I'll give you a much more positive outlook.
What an excellent idea. That's a wonderful idea. Well, please go to Simon's website at www.simonparks.com. Simon, I wanted to ask you, we've got about 2 minutes left.
Goes so quickly.
Yeah, time goes by fast when we're having fun. Real quick question from John here in Seattle. He asked about the storm signaling change according to the Hopi prophecies. Now, I just spent time with the Hopi last week. Just flew into Seattle this morning. I'll be having a program the next hour with the Hopi elders. But they talk about this that we are in the fourth stage now of the planet, going into the fifth, and these storms are Mother Earth's or Gaia's way to alert us to what's going on. We've got about a minute and a half left. What do you think of that?
I've got an absolute wonderful feeling for the Hopi, because remember, the Hopi have a connection with insectoid beings. And of course, the mantis.
Oh, right.
Was the Hopis, of course, who understood about this particular alien group, which we today call mantis. The Hopis, of course, understood about astronomy in a way that we didn't until the last 50, 60 years. They're right. The energy storms, the energy feelings are not about, it's not about alerting us. It actually has to happen. This is part of the physical change that we all have to go through.
Wonderful.
So they had the prophecy. Remember, the Hopis were given the prophecy.
Right.
They were given the prophecy, and they pass it down, and they guard it, and they pass it from one to the other. That's better than any Bible.
Right, exactly. We'll be talking to some Hopi elders in about 5 minutes. So please stay tuned, Simon. And Simon, thank you so much for coming on today. The time's gone so by so fast. And I want to thank you so much again for sharing your words of wisdom today.
Oh, thank you. Love to be on the show. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Simon. Bye-bye. Please stay tuned, friends, to our next hour with some Hopi elders on the world situation.